right, everybody, welcome back to Master of the Universe podcast with Gabe and old Christopher J. And today we're going to be talking about 2005's sequel to the original Saw, Saw 2, no shit, right, dude? So, guys, what's been going on?
Shit, fucking work. Shit, trying to avoid that shit.
You know what I'm saying?
And for me, it's fucking work and being sick. I had the day yesterday off, so that was nice, but man, you wake up with some sore ass throats, bad coughing all day.
No shit, now you know how the hood rats feel with the sore throats, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, so
winks
so,
at all the hood rats.
Winks at all the hoodies, dude. All the over-ass chicks at Paradise. But today, we're actually doing like a, you know, a breakdown. You're not going to hear all the podcasts at once, but we like to, we have this new gimmick where we're recording it all in one day and spreading out the shit. As it should be, and so if, you know, we sound like we're talking about kind of a mix of things, it's because we're doing this all at once. Anyway, Saw 2005, I didn't realize how old this movie was, dude. Fuck it, yeah. Eh? Right?
Same here. Like, it, I guess it has to do with when I started watching the franchise, but gosh, I don't think of this as, like, 04, 05, mid-2000 shit. I think of this more like late, right before 2010-ish.
Yeah, you think about it, it's almost 20 fucking years old, man, and like I don't see Saw as a 20-year-old movie, dude. So I mean, Gabe was a little bit older, and he was into horror. So during this time, were you watching any of these when they were coming out, Gabe? Or what's the story with you and Saw?
Well, of course, I saw the first one, and then pretty much, I mean, then they came. I heard about part two. I was like, shit. Well, I gotta be there. You know, it's coming out. I gotta go and watch that shit. So. Got all super excited about it, and then it's just, now it just became a repetitive thing for like what, for like 9 movies, right?
They something came out like with that.
Yeah,
I thought it was 7. It might be.
Huh?
It might. That might be 9. I thought it was 7, but you might be right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 8 or 9 movies. Then they took like a little time gap just to take a little break, and then they started. They tried to do a revamp, I guess, of it. Which didn't really make sense to me, and then they came out with the book of the spiral. You know, it's like the that leads off from Saw. So, I look forward to watching them. It gives me something, you know, to see, you know, how they continue the story. The whole thing as a franchise, it's just like, it's pretty interesting. I mean, for most people are just going to say like, nah, it's just gross. Just gross torture. That's all it is. It's like Hostel or Turista, and I'm like, there's a little bit of a story. I like the twist at the end. So those are pretty neat.
Yeah. So, go ahead, man.
Yeah. So I mean, overall, I mean, it's good to watch. It's not that bad.
These are what Jason was for the '80s, for us in the 2000s, where they were coming out like pretty back to back to back to back. And like there were like they had their gimmick, they stuck to it, and they kind of vary. Like, you know, I know most people, they'll say something like, oh, they're all the same. Like this, and those, you know, a lot of people say like when you see one Jason film, they're all the same, and it's like, no, you know, if you're a fan of them, you definitely can tell the differences, and you know the ones that you know get over and shit, like, you know. But for me, I always kind of avoided these movies growing up, man, because I wasn't into the gore. I wasn't into Jason yet. And then all of a sudden, it was like 2010, I guess because of Saw 3D coming out that year, that I was like, you know, and they were selling like the first 6 in a pack or something like that. I was like, you know what, let me check this shit out. And I ended up checking them out and watching them all through within like 2 days. And I really enjoyed it. I was like, wow, this is actually like a good series. But, you know, before we get into too much detail and, you know, bullshitting about two, Chris, you want to tell them the breakdown of this story before we, you know, give our opinions and all that shit, since this was your pick, dude? And why are you a fan of the Saw franchise? You're not a horror guy.
Well, you know, but this one, again, going back to what Saw is, if it's more that sociopath, the angry sociopath stalking people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we pick up with a new murder. We start off hot. We go in hot. This guy, Michael, who looks more like the young Michael Corleone, so maybe that's his name, why they gave him that character name, but he's stuck in a fucking jaw vice bear trap kind of thing, where he's got one, he either cuts behind his eye, pulls out the key and unlocks the device, or lets the thing snap in like 5 minutes, or whatever. I forgot how much time it was. Well, he just can't bring himself to either and fucking dies, and the movie comes in hot in that way. But now here we are. We're introduced to the detective played by Donnie Wahlberg, and what's going on here is he doesn't have the greatest relationship with his son. His son doesn't want to be around him. He's divorced from the ex-wife, the mom, and he's just trying to be the best cop he can and the best dad he can. And, you know, we've all had that moment in our lives when we go off or get angry or what have you. And say something in anger. And, you know, the next day you're like, hey, man, I'm sorry. You feel bad about it. And you're like, hey, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? And you're just pleading for that. And little do you know, it just adds to compound it because now his son is stuck in this weird industrial building with other people he doesn't know. And he's being played a game with, and he could die. Now, he has to deal with finding this out, talking to the scumbag who caused this, and then solving where they are and getting them free before everyone dies, particularly his son. That's the premise of this movie here.
And the big twist is the thing that gets the most. Well, I think all the Saw movies have a twist. I guess this one I thought was a little bit better. Well, I can't say better. It was a little bit more, as crazy as the first one was, this was a little bit better.
It's more dynamic. It's not just two guys and their stories. It's a lot of people and a lot of stories.
Look at Chrissy. Dynamic. Get out of here.
Good choice of words, huh?
Yeah. He's like, the word you're looking for is dynamic, Jerry.
Dynamic.
Exactly. He's a dynamic for 200. Oh, my God. Spin the wheel. All right. Fuck it. Yeah, this one, it adds a lot more layers than the first one had, dude. But, I mean, I started laughing like when you're talking about that stuff, because the first thing when I was watching this film, the things that stood out to me were like how much of a dickhead, you know, Donnie Wahlberg, by the way, he's fucking the main guy on here. He's a cop. And just like when you see him and his son, and his son's kind of this scared, kind of just doesn't really know how to express himself, I guess it feels. He's kind of uptight, and Donnie's just being like a dickhead to him, man. He's like, get out of here. I was like, man, what an asshole, man. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, what was your take on this film, Gabe? I mean, or any favorite kills or anything like that with this?
Well, definitely. Like, one of my favorite parts. I mean, this thing has, like, a bunch of little tidbits in there that make the movie either makes me laugh or just think it's like, dang, you know, like, it just kind of pushes you back a little bit. So, like, for instance, like, one of the parts that actually made me laugh, like, we were talking about Donnie Wahlberg, you know, he's interrogating Tobin Bell, you know, the Jigsaw. Mm-hmm. And he says, look, here's the rules of the game. If you want to see your son, all you have to do is sit down and talk with me.
Yeah.
And he's all like, come on. And he's all like, if you want to see your son, that's it. Okay. So he goes on a rant, and he's just, like, talking, you know, about the system, and he has cancer, all this bad bull crap. Well, the funny part about it, he's all like, look, man, tired of all this. Look, can you get me some water?
Yeah. Oh,
water. And so he starts shaking the cup, and he's just looking at him like, really? You want water? Fine. I'll go get you a damn water.
Yeah.
Spits in his drink.
What a dick, right?
Yeah. This dude's all pissed off. But and the whole rules of the game, I had to explain to you guys, like, Jigsaw puts these characters or these people all into a situation to where they're going to die. Like, little to hardly any effort, all they have to do is, like, pretty much just sit there, and they're going to die. So pretty much a good chance of survival is actually, like, you know, you're going to end up losing a limb, or you're going to have to put in full effort. Now, in this case, Donnie Wahlberg, the damn detective, all he has to do really is actually just sit there, and he could have had his son. But, of course, you know, he wants to be the overachiever, and he's being fueled by anger, so he's doing all he can just to go ahead and rescue his damn kid. But all he did was throw himself into a damn trap, you know, and just ended up, you know, getting himself killed. So
that's the twist. I was hoping Chris would kind of say it earlier. So that's the whole thing, is that all he needs to do is just wait, right? And that's, to me, that's what's really cool, that everything that's going on in this film has already taken place.
And you know what's the coolest part about that? Throughout the whole Saw franchise, if you all sit down and actually watch him, he is given the most easiest of, you know, puzzles to go ahead, or the easiest game to play. Because all he had to do was just sit there while everyone else was, like, hanging by their tongue, you know, had a trap on their head where they had to figure something out, something or other. You know, even the, when they, all the people that are been kidnapped and trapped in the house, especially with the son that's in that house, they all have puzzle, like, puzzle numbers on the back of their neck. They, all they had to do was help each other, you know, try to figure out those numbers. But even then, that as things escalated, they didn't realize they had numbers tattooed on the back of their neck. So they end up pulling up, one of them pulls out a knife and ends up trying to cut the skin off just so he can get the damn number.
Yeah, at the end, it's all fucked up.
And those numbers coordinate with a damn safe that actually leads to an antidote. So, yeah, they're all injected with, like, poison, and leave it to them. They're all panicking, and they're, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how the hell to get out and how to survive or get to a hospital. But these people are just panicking, and that's pretty much this movie. It's, you're just trying to see how people can coordinate under, you know, a dire situation. You know, they don't know what they're injected with.
What was the point of putting it behind their, behind them? Was it like for them to watch each other's back or something? What the fuck was all like? What, who the fuck's are looking the back of their neck? Well, I mean, I guess you would if you're.
Well,
see,
you know, how I think of that though. I think of the. I was told this anecdote. I don't remember who told it to me. I think it was like in a newspaper or something. And it was something like an angel went to visited hell and then visited heaven. And the people in hell were sitting around a pot of like some kind of soup or stew or whatever that everyone was going to eat. But their spoons were really long, so they couldn't spoon it to their own mouths because the spoons were so long. And they said everyone starved because of it. But in heaven, everyone fed each other with different... So like, I'm holding this spoon and I'm going to feed you. So-and-so over there is holding this spoon, he's going to feed so-and-so over there.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the difference. So that's kind of how I think of it, is, like, he's trying to get these people, he maybe thinks they're selfish, and trying to get them more group-oriented.
I think in my perspective, he's just a bit of a dick.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, he has the... He doesn't... these whole things are games, and they're puzzles, so he doesn't want to make things too easy. Plus, this is part two. I mean, you know, they don't want to... They're barely rolling into the whole idea that they got from part one, and now they're trying to come up with new puzzles and stuff for part two. So now they're going to have to try, like, depend... You know, at that time, they were all depending, like, how good is this movie going to do? If it does great, then we're going to have to one-up ourselves on the next one, on part three... You know, and see how we can one-up ourselves on puzzles. I'm pretty sure somebody looked up some of this crap online and, you know, said, well, let's not make it too easy for them. Let's make them suffer a bit, you know. People are like...
And can I...
No, you're good.
Can I tell you what I thought was the most brutal fucking kill on this thing? Oh, my gosh, dude. Both times I saw it in the past couple of weeks, I was just amazed. Was that the furnace, the incinerator... And even though the guy was a dirtbag and stuff, it's like, you can't help but have sympathy for someone. You see them going through that, that's rough. And, I mean, even if he had gotten out of it, like, you think that, and getting out of that little square that, of course, he couldn't fit through, but even if he could have, it would have put incredible pressure on his bones and joints. He's going against broken glass edges that are still in there. Oh, my God, that was awful. And then, like, the only way to get him out of there was to break glass, and probably some of the glass could have gone right in his eye when he's in the fucking incinerator. Oh my god, that just whole thing just...
Yeah, I don't know why the fuck he went in there. I mean, I wouldn't have...
No, I would have the kid in there.
Yeah, I would have been like, I guess we're all screwed. I would have done the Chris, I guess we're all screwed then.
Yeah, we're all fucked.
Yeah, I guess we're all
fucked. That just absolutely was... That was the most disturbing thing of this movie.
Yeah, well, I mean... Go ahead, man.
I mean, the main prison guy actually did threaten... he threatened the other guy, saying, like, you better go in there. And he said, if you don't go in there, I'm going to throw your ass in there. So,
yeah.
they were threatening each other.
Yeah, I think one of
the most the terrible ones to look at was the one with the needles.
Yes.
I think a code or a solution was inside the needles. So they end up shoving the girl from part one into the damn, pretty much a pit of syringes. And honestly, to me, that was like the, they could be dirty, rusted, infected. You can get tetanus, all kinds of bad things out of there. And that kind of makes me cringe out of that whole damn movie. Oh.
Yeah, for sure. That was the one. That was the part that I was like, "Fuck no!" You don't even want to move. Like anything else, you get like fucking, you know, something bad happened to you. It sucks and all that. But this one, it's just like, yeah, it's like the whole. Besides the pain, it's all the other gross shit that's attached to you know, needles and shit. So.
Oh, I agree. It was brutal to watch too. But just the fire, because like you just immediately can feel it almost. Even imaginarily, but you feel that fucking heat and being in metal like that and being in clothes like that. Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm claustrophobic. There's no way I would have gotten there. I'd have been like, then you fucking kill me, that bitch. You ain't getting me in that motherfucker. So simple ass. Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, yeah, I ain't getting in there. Like, you know, I'd rather get my ass kicked than get going that motherfucking thing. Give me a break.
Oh my god.
Chris would have sandbagged himself immediately, dude. There's no way. But, yeah, the whole twist ending, really, like, I thought the whole movie was good. I watched it about four times over the past, you know, we planned this now, like, for a three-week thing, so you can kind of watch it. At least for me, I like to sit there and watch it one good time and enjoy it, and then put it on as I'm, like, just about my day. And I'll do that, like, two or three times, and, like, you start noticing shit. And you had brought it up earlier when he had asked about the water. I don't know why. I thought it was hilarious. When he's like, he's in the middle of a fucking, you know, he just kidnapped this kid, you know, and he's like, can I get some, I'd really appreciate some water, you know, and I'm like, this guy, like you said, like, did you call Jigsaw a dirtbag? You called everyone a dirtbag, but I was like, man, Jigsaw's an asshole, like, what you know, I understand what he's trying to teach these people, but regardless of what you think, what right and wrong is, kidnapping somebody's kid and putting them through some fucking horrific situation and trusting somebody else is not a situation I think anybody's gonna be like, okay, I could just sit here.
No.
Let me just sit here and wait. You know. So
yeah, it's once again, he's like the devil. Like the devil makes arguments like this, would say something, yes. I never murdered anyone. I simply put them in a position where they could make a choice.
Exactly. The devil makes argument exactly. It's just to me irrational thinking, but they think that they're doing right, you know, for some reason.
Pretty much, like, he ends up, throughout the series, he ends up just pretty much proclaiming that he's never killed anyone. And, I mean, seriously, like, he set them up for death, and, you know, with little to no explanation to the rules, and even if he does, he's explaining it in a situation where these people are panicking, yelling, or screaming. They're not paying attention to no damn puppet or a TV series. You know, saying like, hey, you know, here are the rules. And you got like a big old eye bolt, you know, some kind of clamp or something hooked onto your like ass or something ready to pull you on one end while another clamp on your tongue is ready to pull you the other. There's no way you're gonna sit there and pay attention for the last 5 minutes. Or when you finally like get your senses, you're gonna be looking at that television. So there's the game. Go on and play. I'm like, oh, play what? What? What the hell were you talking about?
You're like, what are we doing here?
He needs to give like a little buffer zone at least. Like, give him like a good 10 minutes to wake up and panic a little while, and then kind of really gain the eye of the situation, and then go ahead and explain his rules or something of Tetris or whatever he wants to play.
My whole thing is like, he's a scumbag because you're putting all these bad, you know, bad people or been in jail, right? And you put them with this little kid because you want to teach this cop a lesson. And I understand like they were all arrested for his thing, but I'm like, you know, was that such a good, I mean, like, you know, all it took is one of these crazy maniacs to snap and just kill him. And well, there goes your game. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it just seemed like it wasn't a very well thought out plan when it comes to like, that's kind of a, I don't know how he wants to look at it, you know.
It's an ends justifies the means kind of thing.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if Jigsaw was here with us right now, he'll probably be trying to explain, oh no, it's very fair, because I have cancer. Well, I'm sorry you have cancer, but does that really mean you have to be a dick to everybody else?
Exactly. I mean, when he says that, he's all like,
I'll send you a get well soon card or something, but don't kidnap my kid and do horrific things. Remember, he says, oh, there will be blood out of every orifice. Oh, yeah. Yes, there will be blood. I'm like, oh, you're talking about my kid and every orifice, you know, blood coming out. That's pretty disgusting and terrible. Don't do that.
And perverted.
Yeah. He's all, but I have cancer. I don't give a flying shit if you have cancer. I'm sorry you have a cold.
Yeah.
You know, don't put my kid through a damn ringer, and that's fucking horrific.
And then he tries to play the victim, dude. He tries to play the rave victim when he's all like, I forgot what Donnie Wahlberg tells him. He's all like, I'm gonna do something to you, right? All fucked up.
I'm gonna rip your face off.
Yeah.
One more pain, could you put me in? I have cancer.
Yeah, I'm like. Like, if he's fucking Jesus, dude. Like, he's the ultimate. He's sacrificing for everyone, dude. So
it's
fun to John Kramer.
It's hilarious because he explains pretty much, I think, for the first three or four movies, I think that's all he really explains is that he has cancer. And that's his main excuse. But then I think by the time you get up to the ninth movie, 20th movie, almost the last one, then you find out, like, oh, he's all, my wife got hit and she had a miscarriage, then I fell into a car wreck, then I found out I had cancer. Oh, okay, well, see, now there's more to it. Are you all just making up things as you go, or did you all actually really have a plan? You know what I mean? It's just he didn't want to explain how extra horrific it was. It just kept explaining throughout the first so many movies, yes, I have cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sorry.
Like if his wife would have got killed by a drunk driver and he put a drunk driver in, like, a situation like this, I would understand a little bit better if you, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, he's just taking random people and, like, right now he's like, I got cancer and that's it, you know, so I'm pissed off at the world. And it's just not enough to justify the fucking madness, you know?
Yeah, there's enough psycho movies out there like that.
Hmm? Yeah, they're really. I mean, there are movies out there like similar to this, and one in particular I can, you know, bring up would be Breaking Bad. Yeah. So in that case, the guy has cancer, and man, I kid you not, that damn cancer is a damn good motivator for doing, like, some amazing things. But in this case, like. So in Breaking Bad, the guy has cancer, and then before you know it, he's trying to push his life on the edge, so he starts realizing, I got to take care of my family, so he starts making meth and selling drugs and shit, and he becomes like a big kingpin. In this case, this one just decides to go and lose it and just say, hey, you know, I'm just gonna kidnap someone's kid and put him in a whole house, you know, barricaded to where they're all criminals, and they're gonna do something. they're gonna do something. Hey, didn't you find the funniest part with the damn cops when they were breaking and entering into that place, and then they all kind of got electrocuted into the damn cage?
I don't remember that part. At the very end when Donnie tells him to stay there, and when he's punching Jigsaw in his car.
No, it was in the beginning.
At the beginning.
It was in the beginning. So. What happens is that they found the location of Jigsaw. So they're like, oh, shit, we got him. You know, we found the location. So they figure it out, and they remember it's at this old reserve steel mill or something like that. So anyways, they make their way over there.
Steel reserve? And they have,
yeah, steel reserve. He has, wasted. He has, like, some kind of...
winks at me.
Winks at Chris.
Yeah, the main detective. Well, anyways, what happens is that they get the whole SWAT team, and that's how the whole SWAT team ends up getting there. So they get there, they bust in through the door, and they start running on in, and sure enough, they end up into, it's like a little cage, a stairway cage. Well, anyways, they all end up kind of falling into that trap, and they all kind of end up getting electrocuted. So they cut the power off, or I think they end up getting past it, and then they find Tobin Bell over there. You know, just, or Jigsaw, you know, he's just sitting there all badass, like, oh, yeah, I'm just having a drink, you know, some water, you know.
And his old school computers and shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking and monsters.
And all computers, and they're all like, okay, hold still, hands up. And he's all like, okay, yeah, sure. I have cancer. And of course I can do that.
He's sitting there like fucking like the Kermit meme where he's drinking a cup of tea, but that's none of my business, just all calm. You know, but the thing is, too, I agree with you. At the beginning part where the first line of SWAT team is rushing up the stairs, and that, I told y'all the night I was watching, I was like, I started laughing. It reminded me of like Home Alone when he throws the paint cans down the stairs. But here it's like a stupid-ass doll rides up on the bike, ha, 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 and then the stairs fall out from below. Oh, my God.
Honestly, man, you are not too far from the truth. I think Jigsaw is the adult version of Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone. I think that's what happened. He caught cancer at some point and decided to turn evil.
Yeah, these traps, right? It's just the Home Alone gimmick. He's like, how can I fuck with people now?
You know what? The only thing he's missing is the paint buckets.
This movie made $147 million and only had a $4 million budget, man. That's a hell of a, and, you know, we all know that at least, you know, 10% went to Donnie Wahlberg because he's over like a son of a bitch. And, man, you can definitely see why these movies are like super profitable, man. Fucking A, $4 million for $147. This director, he would do the next, I think, the next three. So, like, what, two, three, and four? So he definitely has his style, and it's funny, like, I was just looking him up, and you could definitely tell his style, because I guess he does 2, 3, and 4, yeah, so 5 and 6, they, 5 and 6, I guess, I remember all of a sudden they do change a little bit in tone, so I can't wait to see the differences as we go through them, because we will be getting, you know, through them in the summer of Saw, so I'm going to enjoy my ass doing that one. So, yeah, guys, got any final thoughts on Saw 2? Y'all want to give y'all's rating and trash Chris, or what are we doing here?
I'll go ahead and I'll give my damn rating on this movie. I do watch it from time to time, and I mean, once you've already seen it once, I mean, depending on how much you really like horrific traps and, like, you know, all the bad predicaments, like them trying to panic and trying to get out of it. I mean, it's up to you how you feel about all that. I mean, really, I mean, 6.5, really. I mean, I can watch it again, but it's nothing I really even have to pay attention to. I sit down and I draw, or I'll do something, and I can put this movie on. And when I turn my, you know, when I turn my head towards the TV, I mean, that someone's already, like, screaming because the, you know, blood's already spilling out or something. So it's nothing you even have to pay attention to after you've already seen it once. So, yeah, 6.5.
CJ, 2-minute warning.
I am going to give it a solid 8.5. I think sometimes the story doesn't flow as nicely as it should as far as pacing and dialogue and whatnot. But I do feel overall these are fun movies. They're enjoyable. They make sense. They explain themselves. The predicaments people get in, you can immediately empathize with. The gore is there. It's realistic. And then also, I just feel like Tobin Bell is the ultimate villain, and you know, psycho. But you know, he's calm, and he argues like the devil, which gets him even more heat because he's not yelling or being acting crazy. He's just being cool, calm, and collective. And then Donnie Wahlberg plays a cop the way Wahlberg plays a cop.
All right. Yeah, for me, I enjoy this one. It's one of those that, I mean, I'll come back to every once in a while. Like every, I'll probably have the urge to watch this in like 2 years, which is kind of a lot for me with films. But that being said, it's not, I prefer the first one. But yeah, it's a good film. I'll give it like a 6.5 also, 6.8-ish. So, we'll be doing part 3 pretty soon. Not too sure when we'll do part 3 because the next pick for Chris is Cape Fear, I believe. Right, Chris?
Do I look best to you, counselor?
So, well, whenever he decides to do 3 or one of us picks it. But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this one, and we'll see you on the next one.
Man, you got to be shitting me. That mother's strong.
Peace.
Peace. I'm out.